Well, hello again. We're continuing this week on our walk into the greatest revival the world has ever seen. I know we're getting closer every single day. Not only America, but I'm telling you, this world, the only hope is a genuine outpouring, a genuine revival, a sweeping move of the Spirit of the living God that gets many people born again. Politics is important. Your vote is important. The Bible talks has much to say about putting the righteous into office. The land rejoices, the people rejoice when the righteous are in authority. But boy, politics is not going to save us. We got to have a genuine move of the Spirit of God, a genuine revival that changes hearts. Changing laws is one thing. You know, they tried that with prohibition back in the early part of the 1900s, and it didn't work out too well. Why? Because they could change the law, but they couldn't change the heart. Man can't change the heart, but Jesus can. Thank God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. Well, today I'm going to continue on our kind of our lesson from last week about truth. And I'm going to go through this little series of verses again, the way that I heard them one morning when I woke up. And Pilate asked Jesus in John 18:38, he said, "What is truth?" Now that's a really good question. what is truth? John 14:6 is the perfect answer, where Jesus says, "Well, I am the truth." He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." But you can say, "I am the truth." Have you ever thought about it put this way? When Jesus says, "I am the truth," couldn't you say, "Truth is a person"? What? Let's see, what does it say? Jesus said unto him, "I am the truth." Truth is a person. That person is God. That person is the second member of the Godhead who came to be with us. That's why we call him Emmanuel, God with us. But he didn't live really in his privilege of being God. And he didn't walk holy because he was God. He walked holy because he was a man born of God's Spirit. But listen, think about it. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Later it says the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. Well, no doubt that's Jesus, the second member of the Godhead. And he says, "I am the truth." Truth is a person. You know, so you could say, he says, I am the truth. The Bible says, God is love. Well, if God is truth and God is love, truth is love. What? It also says God is light. All right, too much too soon. Because, again, I don't like just theoretical things. I'm an engineer by my training. I like practical things. What we want to do is walk in the truth. Last week's title, I think, was Walk in Truth. And that comes from 3 John, where John was writing a letter to his friend, a disciple named Gaius. And he was pleased with how Gaius was living his life, and he was living by the truth. And he says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Well, boy, that's what we want to do. We want to walk in truth. So what is the truth? Well, Jesus says, "I am the truth." John 17:17, he says, "Father, thy word is truth." Well, truth is the word. We don't have a whole lot of problem with that. Truth is the word. The word is a person. The word is the second member of the Godhead who came to live with us and now lives in us. Get to that in a minute. Anyway, man, it's hard for me to just say these verses and not say something about them. Matthew 4:4. Now here it is. How do you walk in truth? How do you walk in truth? Man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then we finished with that morning, these verses as they were being, I just kept hearing them in this sequence. In John 8:31-32, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word. Another place, I didn't write it down. Jesus says, my words are spirit. My words are life. If you continue in my word, that doesn't mean just reading it. That means walking in it. Then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, let's do this. And you shall know the word, and the word shall make you free.
Yeah.
That's okay, but I like this one. And you shall know me, and I shall set you free. Because Jesus says, I am the truth. So Jesus is the truth. When it says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If Jesus is the truth, well, you shall know me. Jesus is, he's the one speaking there. You shall know me. If you continue in my word, you shall know me. And I will set you free. And later, I didn't write it down, but he says, whom the Son makes free is free indeed. So we're not stretching the truth at all there. See, and this is why intimacy is so important. I so appreciate how the Lord said it through Pastor Bronk one time. He said, obedience without intimacy is just legalism. And boy, there has been plenty of that down through these centuries since Jesus went to be with the Father. Obedience is important. But obedience without intimacy, let me say it another way, obedience without love it's just legalism. And again, to me, the very best illustration of that is the story of the prodigal son. And not so much about him, but the prodigal, but the elder brother, the one that didn't go out into the world. It says that he never transgressed a commandment in that story. He worked in his father's fields. So he was obedient, but it's obvious there was no fellowship. There was no intimacy. How do you know that? Because he didn't know his father's heart at all. He thought his father should judge this prodigal and be mad at him and never let him back in the house. And for goodness sake, don't throw him a big party and kill the fatted calf. And I mean, he did not know his father's heart at all. Why not? His life was a life of just obedience. Can I say legalism? And legalism, again, just obedience without intimacy, it just results in legalism. And there's no change of heart. You don't develop the Father's heart that way. And again, if he just would have come in and spent, there is no substitute for spending time with God. And I mean, because you love him. See, really, the great commandment, yes, we're supposed to obey God. Yes, we're supposed to obey him. But really, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. That's why intimacy is so important. And I didn't really understand that so much in the early days. More and more, I'm getting a little wisdom with this gray hair. I'm glad I still got some hair. Thank you, Lord. But anyway, thank you, Lord. More and more I'm understanding. If you're really going to walk in truth, you're going to spend time with Jesus, because ultimately he is the truth. And he is the one that sets you free. Now this week, I'd like to back up just a little bit. We started off with what is truth. And of course, that's John chapter 18 and verse 38. But let's back up one verse. So if you don't mind, go ahead and turn to John 18, verse 37. So John 18, 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. Now what cause? Why did you come? Here's one of the main reasons that Jesus came, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Let's focus today on Jesus came to bear witness of the truth. Now, the way I've been seeing this, I don't know if you've ever heard of Christian Science. I think most of you have. I'm not an expert in that, but they got some degrees off. It's off. Don't get involved with Christian Science. But one of the ways they got off, it's like, you know, just a few degrees, because they say basically that this world and everything we experience is not really real. It's some kind of fantasy or something. It's a phantom. It's not real. Well, see, that's not the truth. It is real. Real Christianity never denies the facts. If you read, you know, just read the four Gospels, and you'll say, this woman had an issue of blood. It doesn't say this woman thought she had an issue of blood. No, she had an issue of blood. This other lady was bowed over. She was stooped over for all those years. This man is blind. The Bible does not deny the facts, okay? The facts are, though, we live in a fallen world that is not the truth. I'm going to say it that way. And how do you know that? Well, because Jesus, in each one of those cases, you know, like right now I'm seeing the woman bowed over and could in no wise stand up. It's a fact. And she'd been that way for a long time, a lot of years. Those are facts. That's her world. All right, the woman with the issue of blood, she'd been to the doctors. I mean, the Bible doesn't deny the fact that she had this problem. She had this issue. And she had been to the doctors, spent all that she had, and kept getting worse. Well, see, there's no denying the facts. But see, Jesus is the truth. And truth, when truth shows up, truth changes facts. Doesn't deny the facts, changes the facts. He sent his word and healed them. Well, Jesus is the word made flesh. And boy, did he heal them. And he heals us today. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So it's been helping me to understand truth is a person manifested in Jesus Christ. He came to manifest the truth. He came to bear witness, to show us what the truth is. See, let's take the woman that was bowed over all those years. When you've had something that's got you bowed over and you can't, it says she could in no wise straighten herself up. Okay? She could in no wise straighten herself up. That's her facts. And when you've been a certain way for a long time, that becomes your world, and you tend to lose hope, see. And your truth, if you quotes, your truth becomes, I'm going to always be this way. This is how it is. I've been this way a long time. Maybe you've been to the doctors. Maybe they've given you not a good report. Well, those are the facts. We don't deny those facts. But see, truth comes along. Truth does not agree with those facts. Truth saw that woman bowed over for all that time and knew that was a work of the devil. Because he says later, shouldn't this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, shouldn't she be loosed? He thinks you should be loosed. He thinks I should be loosed. See, truth is a person. That person is God. God in the flesh. And God is love. You could almost go truth equals love. Truth equals love. See, and our goal is to walk in the truth. He's been dealing with me. I don't know hardly anybody that tells me they enjoy fasting. I think if you enjoy fasting, you're not doing it right. Or I don't know. Maybe there is a place to enjoy fasting, but I certainly have no experience with that. But I've done more fasting in the last few years than I've ever done in my life, and I plan on doing more. I'm not saying that to brag. I'm just trying to, all I can do is share my own life and experience along with the Word with you. But see, my whole attitude, as I'm beginning to understand that truth is a person, and that person is love. Well, why would love want me to go without food? I don't like it when I go without food, do you? I get hungry. So it says, well, I can't fast. Why can't you fast? Well, when I fast, I get hungry. I'm sorry. I've actually been told that. So I always tell them, I said, well, it means you're doing it right. Why would love want us to fast? Because love doesn't want Gary. I'm going to talk about me and not you. Love, the one who loves me, the one who is love, doesn't want Gary dominated by the flesh my whole life. He wants Gary to walk in dominion over his flesh. See, that's what Paul said. The Apostle Paul. And I mean, after he's done so much for the Lord and written so, you know, the most of the New Testament and started all these churches, and he says about himself, he said, I have to keep my body under. He had to do it, lest I myself should be a castaway. Whoa, that's the Apostle Paul talking. So it's important that we keep our body under. We have to have dominion. Fasting is one of the best tools that we have. It's like how you can go to war against the flesh to show, to walk in dominion. Kind of just say it's like boot camp. It's training to bring your flesh under the dominion of the new man. That's the Christian, the child of God, the son of God that you really are, man or woman. Remember, in the kingdom, there is no male or female. So you're a son of God, a child of God. And you're born of the truth. And him who loves you, he says, Jesus said, in those days when he's no longer on the earth, he said, my disciples will fast. Well, that's this time when Jesus himself is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's not on earth. Well, this is that time where his disciples fast. Why? He loves us. And he doesn't want us to spend our whole life under the dominion of the flesh. I'm going to give Alan Taylor credit this week. I may not, after this time or another, one or two times when I hear something really good, I'll try and give him credit. But then it's mine after that. So, Alan, enjoy this. Alan Taylor gave one of the best examples of the pull of the flesh and understanding how the flesh is not really you. It's not the real you. It is the suit you are wearing. But he gave this illustration. He says, we have two little dogs, him and Christy, his wife. They have two little dogs. One of them likes to go for walks. One of them doesn't like to go for walks. And he says, let's talk about the one that likes to go for a walk. He says, man, he pull that leash out and get ready. He's ready to go. And you fasten that little doggy up and out the door you go. And he's ahead of you because he likes to go for a walk. And you're taking your little dog for a walk. So that little dog has got a mind and a will and emotions. Dogs are amazing creatures. They know when they're in trouble, when they did something wrong. And boy, they can just love on you and be loyal. I saw a thing on TV the other day where this dog just rescued this little toddler. Another dog was coming to attack this little toddler. And the dog that belonged to the toddler defended it. Boy, I mean, it went to war with that other dog. It would have given its life to save that little toddler. Dogs are amazing. They have courage and bravery and loyalty and a lot of things. But they're not eternal creatures. But anyway, that's not the subject. Anyway, so we've got the little dog that likes to go for walks, and he's all excited, and you're taking the little dog. Now, your intention, there's a park right down this sidewalk here, so your intention is, little dog, we're going to walk right down this sidewalk, and we're going to go to the park. But the little dog It has eyes and it has will and it has desires and it sees something over this way. And suddenly the little dog, it starts going that way. Now you're holding on to it with this leash, but you can feel the pull of a little soul that is not within you. God, that is perfect. So your flesh has a will. If you don't believe that, just read Galatians chapter 5, which I didn't prepare. But Galatians chapter 5 says, the flesh lusts against the spirit. Now, he's not talking about the Holy Spirit there. He's talking about you, your spirit, the real you. The Holy Spirit, the flesh lusts against you. And you, the righteous, holy, born again you, against the flesh. The flesh wants to do all of these things. Adultery, fornication, drug use, alcohol, anger, wrath, revenge. It lists a whole bunch of things over there. Well, that's like the little dog on the leash. I want to do this. I'm going to get even. I'm going to steal that. I want that. I'm going to steal it. I'm jealous of that over there. You can, just like that little dog, you can feel the pull of the soul, the little will, the soul in that little dog. You can feel it, but you sure don't have to yield to it, because it wants to go that way and it wants to go that way. But see, you're the one in control. You are the dominant one. And you go, no, we're going right down this path. If I was teaching on the way of righteousness today, that's the path. Peter talks about that in his epistles, the way of righteousness. That's a great study, by the way. There is a way of righteousness. And you're going to walk right down the middle. See, that's your will, because you're born of God. You're born of God. See, in that verse we read, he said, everyone that's of the truth hears my voice. Well, you've been born of the truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he's the regenerator. I mean, Christ is your Adam, but the Holy Spirit is the regenerator. He is the Spirit of truth. You are born of the Spirit. You are born of the truth, and that's why you can hear his voice, because he is the truth, the one that speaks to us. I am the truth, he said. I am the word. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the way, and I am the life. Oh, man. What wonders God has done for us. The riches of the gospel are just amazing. The more you learn of it, the deeper the well seems to get. And I know it's astounding that God could rebirth us out of us, a dead species that came from Adam, spiritually dead, born spiritually dead as a doornail. And somehow God could rebirth us to come through another line, the line of Jesus, who is the last Adam. And now we're birthed of a whole different species, and yet not lose you in the process. You still exist. And now, though, you are a new creature born of the truth, and you have the capacity to walk in the truth. But we feel the pull of the flesh. And that's what Galatians 5 is saying. And that's what Alan was saying. He was going, that little dog, I mean, it's like the flesh. And you feel the pull on the leash. You can feel it. Boy, if you don't resist it, that flesh is going to lead you your whole. See, that's Romans 8:13. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. If you just, even if you're born again now, if you live habitually after the flesh, you're going to die. The wages of sin are still death. You can feel the tug of it. You can feel it, especially if you're going through withdrawals. Boy, when I went through withdrawals on nicotine, I thought, it seems like my flesh had a voice, and it would just constantly say, give me nicotine or I'm going to kill you. Of course, the truth was the nicotine was probably killing me, but... They don't think I like that during the withdrawals. Boy, could I feel the pull. Oh, thought it was never going to end. So you can feel the pull, just like that little dog. You can feel that little dog has got a there's a soul in there that's not, it doesn't originate with you. You are righteous. Ephesians chapter 4 says that new man is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's you. You, the real you, loves worship, loves to do the will of God. It loves to help people. It loves to tell people about Jesus. It loves righteous things. It hates sin. The real you is born of God. The real you is born of the truth. And it's righteous and it's holy. But see, you feel that pull. That's the flesh. And I thought that was such a perfect illustration that Alan gave about that little dog. You can feel the pull of a soul, a will that did not originate in you. Now, you can't yield to that. You cannot yield to that if you're going to stay on the way of righteousness. If you're going to, I'm going to walk in truth. Well, that means you can't yield to the flesh. Well, it's just so simple. Let's talk about the other dog, another small dog. Does not like to go for walks. And the first time Alan's wife, Christy, tried to take it for a walk, she says, I don't know what's wrong with this dog. When I want to take it for a walk, it just lays down. It won't walk. It won't do anything. I come on, sweetie. Come on, come on. You know, Christy is so sweet, beautiful Christian wife. Come on. And the little dog would just lay there and look at her like, I ain't doing it. I ain't doing it. I'm not going. See, I don't know what to do. So here comes Alan, and Alan says, "Hey, I'm the alpha male of this house. I'll show that dog. I'll take it for a walk." So he's going to all just teach that dog, you know. Puts the leash on him, gets him out on the sidewalk, you know. And the little dog just lays down. Alan pulls him a little bit. Little dog just lays there and looks at him. Pulls him a little more. Pulls him a little more. You know, not trying to be mean and to hurt the dog or anything, but just trying to get him to come on. Come on, let's go for a walk. Come on, come on. The little dog just lays there and looks at him. I ain't doing it. I'm not cooperating with you whatsoever. And Alan said it was a sad scene when a little while later he comes walking back home carrying the little dog in his arms. He said on that occasion, the will of that little dog outlasted his human will, and the dog won. Jibber. Boy, is the flesh like that flesh. The real me has made a decision. We're going to go pray and worship God for 4 hours. I'm making something up. I just have something to talk about. Yeah, we're going to go, and we may even throw in some praying in tongues, but we're going to give 4 hours to God. Come on, flesh. Let's go spend time with God, and the flesh just lays down. No. Come on, flesh. Come on. No. He's just looking at you like, come on, I ain't doing this. Or let's get up early and pray. Yeah, that's it. Come on, flesh. We're going to get up 2 hours early in the morning. We're just going to pray. And the alarm goes off and snooze. And the snooze. Or just off. The flesh is going, nope, I ain't doing it. Now, see, this is where fasting comes in to start taking dominion over the flesh. I don't know how that would work with the dogs. Let's get back to us now. But boy, I have felt my flesh be a hindrance. Isn't it amazing? You can just be wide awake and everything's fine till you report for prayer. And within 30 minutes, probably not even that long, starting to get a little drowsy, you know, start trying to stay awake. And what's causing that? Now, I'll always think of that little dog just laying down on the sidewalk looking at you like, I ain't doing it. I'm not doing it. Alan, you did great. See, that resistance did not originate within you. Your flesh has desires. Let's just look at it real again. Go to Galatians 5. I got my Bible right here. It's just make sure that you know it's in there. I'm sure you probably do. Galatians chapter 5, and coming down to verse 16. where it said, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the," notice, "lust of the flesh." What? You mean my flesh has desires of its own? What does it say? Walk in the Spirit, you, the real you. Can I say stay on the sidewalk? Stay on the way of righteousness? Stay on the highway of holiness? Walk in the Spirit? What if I said walk in the truth? You walk in the truth. If you do that, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. My flesh has lusts that did not originate in me. All right, verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Now, I know in the King James Bible that's a capital S, but this passage is not talking about your flesh in a war with the Holy Spirit. Trust me, if your puny flesh ever goes to war with God the Holy Ghost, that'll be the shortest war on record, okay? It's not even talking about that. It's talking about you, the born-again you, walking in the truth, walking in the Spirit, walking by that righteous new man that you really are, instead of yielding to the flesh, because the flesh did not get born again. And it still has lusts. It has desires. It's just exactly like that little dog. You know, it just wants what it wants when it wants it. I want to go here. I want to go there. I want to go sniff that. I want to go eat that. I want to, you know, and that little dog would have just, it'll pull you all different directions all day long, and you never will hardly stay on the highway of holiness or the way you intended to go. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, little s, and the Spirit, little s, against the flesh. These are contrary, the one to the other. Your flesh wants worldly things. Your flesh wants success. Your flesh wants admiration of men. Your flesh wants ease. Your flesh wants wealth. Your flesh wants this and this and this. And it's greedy. It's lustful. It's ambitious. It wants its own way. It never wants to be told what to do. That's the flesh. And you could read all this stuff, and that's not our lesson today. But I love that illustration. Boy, you can feel it. Same way you can feel the pull of that little dog on that leash. You can feel it. And it can get, what if it's a big dog? You know, on YouTube sometimes you watch the animal funny ones. And these big dogs, I mean, they see something that they want, and they'll drag that owner all over the yard because they're big enough to do it. It's a good illustration of the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other. But if you, let's see, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And if you, Romans 8:13 just plainly says, if you live, and that word live in the Greek has a tense that means habitually. If you habitually live after the flesh, and the flesh wants all of these things, we could list a few of them here, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. That's far enough. Just those things there. Adultery is a deal breaker. I don't know if you know that. If it says no fornicator, adulterer, sexually impure, is going to inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. So many people are today because they have, Dave would say, wimpy, panty-waisted preachers in the pulpit that will not tell the truth. You want to hear truth? You want to walk in truth? Listen to this. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. Now, did you notice over in Galatians 5, the flesh wants these things. It specifically starts off talking about adultery and fornication. You can feel the pull of the flesh. I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to do this. Okay. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Now get this, nor thieves, nor covetous, that means greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Years ago, that word inherit stood out to me. And I went, you know, that's an interesting word. The Holy Spirit could have prompted Paul to use other words like shall not possess the kingdom of God, shall not have the kingdom of God, shall not live in the kingdom of God. But he specifically chose the word inherit. Well, if you look up the word inheritance in any dictionary, it's talking about what a son receives or a child receives from the parent. You can't inherit without being a relative. You have to be a son. I mean, now remember in the Bible, there's neither male nor female in the kingdom of God. So it doesn't matter if you're a hairy-legged man like me or a beautiful woman. We're all the sons of God. Okay, so when I say son of God, I'm not just talking about males. I'm talking about all believers, genuine, born-again children of God. Okay? The word inherit is so important because inherit is an inheritance. And you don't get an inheritance unless you're genuinely a child of God. Well, John, in his epistle, the little one, 1 John, the Apostle John, and really later in life, after he'd had a long time to think about and live by the words that Jesus spoke, and thank God, all of 1 John, Jesus, I mean, John is just still teaching 50, 60 years later, the same things he heard Jesus teach. He's still preaching the truth. But go over to 1 John chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. See, it's so important that we learn to walk in truth and to understand that truth is a person. So I'm just going to walk in the Word. Well, you're going to wind up probably in legalism, and you're going to find you have a lot more difficulty with that. Because walking in the Word is walking in the way, and Jesus is the way. I want to walk in truth. Well, walking in truth, Jesus is the truth. Well, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But in the next verse, he says, whom the Son makes free, because Jesus is the truth. So if you're going to know the truth, you're going to know him. And you're not going to know him without spending time with him. That's why over and over again, in preparation for this revival, in what we call the blueprint, all of those fabulous prophecies where the Lord spoke to us, mainly through my mind right now, Pastor Bronk down in Immokalee. When I'm yielding myself to the Spirit, I have trouble with names. All right. That's why over and over again in those prophecies, he says, come away with me. Spend time with me. He tells you how. Spend time in my word. Spend time in worship. Spend time praying in the Spirit. Spend time in fasting. He even includes fasting. And because, again, obedience without intimacy is just legalism. Just walking in the printed lines word without ever any fellowship, you're going to wind up in legalism. You're also going to wind up probably stumbling and falling, because I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus says, I am the truth. But see, God is love. You're not going to walk in the truth without knowing him who loves you. That was good. All right, hope you found 1 John chapter 3. Look at verses 9 and 10. Now, I want to read it first out of the King James, but the King James does not bring out the full meaning of the Greek language that was used. The Greek language was more expressive than our English language. So first I'm going to read it out of the King James, but then I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. whoever is born of God does not commit sin. What? For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Can I say born of the truth? Verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now see, in the King James, that verse used to just scare me to death, because I don't tell anybody this. I'll deny it. Maybe not. I still stumble. I sometimes sin. I tell a white lie. I mean, it's not like it used to be, but still, sin is sin. I can't find any perfect people. There's only one perfect. But in the King James, it just says, whoever is born of God does not commit sin. And in the early days, I thought, am I even saved? But see, if you read it in the Greek, which I don't read Greek, but the Amplified is a Bible that brings out more of the fullness of the Greek language that the New Testament was actually written in. So 1 John 3, verses 9 and 10, let me read it out of the Amplified Bible. It says, no one born, begotten of God, now get this, this is all in the language, deliberately, knowingly, and habitually practices sin. Oh, that makes a big difference. See, I remember the Gary before. I remember the Gary before Jesus. The one who was in the bars all the time, the one who lived for money, the one who was greedy, the one who had all of these selfish ambitions and didn't care what God thought. I remember that guy. Homer, if he was sitting right here, he said, oh, I can tell you about before Jesus, the drugs, the crime, the adultery, the fornication, the potty mouth. Both of us, you know, neither one of us lives habitually sinning now. I don't live in habitual sin. But it doesn't mean I'm walking perfect either. So let's just stay with it here. Let me start again. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9 in the Amplified. No one born, begotten of God, deliberately, knowingly, and habitually practices sin. For God's nature abides in him. Oh, isn't that good? See, that's Ephesians 4, that new man is created in righteousness and true holiness. That new man is created in the image of Christ. See? For God's nature, the one you got when you got born again, abides in him. His principle of life, the divine sperm, remains permanently within him, and he cannot practice. And that means practice means habitually practice sinning, because he is born, begotten of God. Verse 10, but by this it is made clear who take their nature from God and are his children, and who take their nature from the devil and are his children. No one who does not practice righteousness. Now, there's practice. That means habitually righteousness. Who does not conform to God's will in purpose, thought, and action is of God. Let me say that whole thing again. No one who does not practice righteousness is of God. If they don't habitually live righteous, they're not of God. Neither is anyone who does not love his brother, his fellow believers in Christ. So see, it's a habitual thing. My life was habitual sin. From the moment I opened my eye, before Christ I'm talking about. But right on the other hand, I wasn't doing anything that would put me in jail. I mean, people actually looked up to mine and Sue's marriage in those days. Before Christ, we had money, we had cars, we had... I wasn't the broker, but I was the manager, one of the managers in that real estate office. And I had 60 some odd agents under me, and I got a little piece of everything they sold, and then I got my own commissions off what I sold. Sue was a million-dollar seller like the very first year. How do you say no to Sue? That girl, she did really good, you know. But it was then we'd work hard, but we'd party hard. And Sue never would get drunk, but we'd go to the bars and dance, and I would get drunk. In fact, I'd get drunk to go drinking. I remember those days, you know. Well, you look at my life now compared to my life then, and it's just dark. It's day and night. They're completely different. But it certainly doesn't mean I'm perfect. Even Paul said in his letter to the Philippians, he says, I don't count myself to have arrived. He says, I'm still pressing towards that mark. Whew, that gives me hope. He says, just where we've attained, let's don't backslide. Let's walk at least where we have attained, but let's keep pressing towards the mark. Well, what is the mark? I am the way. Jesus is the mark. He set the bar. He is our example. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Actually, verses 1 and 2, where it's talking about him despising the shame and enduring the cross. But he is the pattern for our faith. Jesus Christ, he is the pattern for our faith. And everything he did, he was God the whole time, but he never reached over into his godness to live righteous. He lived holy by the power of the Spirit within him that was born of God. So he is the prototype. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the one to look at. Pastor Brock said one time, that life Jesus road tested it for us. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is you can see that the same life that we received to walk holy, Jesus first had it in him, and he road tested it for us, and it's good. He never sinned. He was tempted. Let's say it this way. Oh, that's good. He felt the pull of the little dog. Or maybe a big dog. He felt the pull of the flesh. It says he was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. Well, yeah, but he was God. I know he was God. But it also says he stepped aside. He laid his divinity aside. He never allowed himself to tap over into his divinity to do anything. Everything we see him doing in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is a prototype, an example, where he's road testing that life and really the anointing of the Holy Ghost. But he's road testing that life for us. And you can just watch and see. We don't have to sin anymore. See, Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12, he said, those that follow me shall not walk in darkness. What's interesting, in the previous verses, it talks about the woman caught in adultery. Wouldn't you call that darkness? Sure, that's one part. That's one kind of darkness, one way to walk in darkness. But he says right after all that, he says, no, those that follow me, and he's talking about following him all the way past the cross, his burial, his resurrection, and ascension into heaven. The gospel, talking about the gospel, really, where we could be born again. He says, they will not walk in darkness, for they shall have the light of life. He's talking about the same life that was in him, that was conceived in him as a little baby in the womb of Mary. That same life that he had that empowered him to not yield to the flesh and sin. He's saying that same life that's in me is going to be in them. Again, the wisdom, the love, the majesty of God, that he could devise a way to rebirth us with the very life, that light of life on the inside of us, to rebirth us where Jesus becomes your Adam and you're now a member of a whole different species called the sons of God, and empower us with the same life that was in Christ Jesus, the same life really that raised him from the dead. to have that same life in us so we can walk free just like He walked free. For God to be able to do that and move you from one species to another and not lose you in the process, you'd have to be God. Oh my goodness. You'd have to be God. Let's finish up here with, I see the little dog on the side walking in, the one that doesn't want to go with you, the one that doesn't want to go for a walk. It's just laying there. Boy, your flesh can be like that. See, and that's where fasting comes in, because either way, the dog that wants to, the dog that likes the walks, or the dog that doesn't like the walks. See, your flesh, you talk about a hindrance when you want to fast. My flesh just lays down. Nope, I ain't doing it. I ain't going with you. I'm going to give you trouble. You're going to have to pull me. And boy, that's it. If that's not the picture of fasting to me, come on, flesh, do this with me. No. No. I'm just laying here. Come on, flesh, come on. No, I'm not doing it. You're going to have to force me to do it. So we force Him to do it. We force the flesh. And that's where more and more my attitude towards fasting is changing. At first, I started doing it because I saw clearly it was the will of Jesus for His disciples to fast during this time when He's not on planet Earth. I saw it clearly. So then I began fasting, but it was really by obedience. Just, well, I'm just doing it because You said we have to do it, Lord. But see, what's happening now is He's leading us into understanding. The truth never changes. I started to say more truth. Truth never changes, but we can walk in higher and higher levels of truth. We can walk in more of the truth that already exists. Anyway, what I'm starting to see now is truth is a person. That person is Jesus. Well, Jesus is God in the flesh, but God is love. See, Paul says, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now notice, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I'm understanding now that fasting is not just a matter of obedience. For sure, I don't want fasting to become legalism. More and more I'm understanding He wants me to fast because He loves me. He wants me to have dominion over the flesh. He doesn't want the flesh leading me into sin. I can still feel the pull, leading me into this, leading me into that. And He doesn't want the flesh just lying down and I'm not going to go with you. I'm not going to participate. I'm not going to do anything. No, you're going to do what I say. And if you don't, well, whether you do or you don't, we're going to fast for X number of days, whatever days it is. And he gave us fasting because He loves us. He is a good, good Father. That song is right. He is a good, good Father. That's who He is. And we are the ones loved by Him. That's who we are. And more I'm understanding. I still don't like it. When I say I, see right there when I said I don't like it, I'm still identifying really with the little dog that doesn't want to go for the walk. I'm identifying with the flesh that doesn't want to fast. See, what I really want is dominion over this flesh in every way. I don't let it sin. How about this? I don't let it get sick. What? What? Well, we'll get there. Gary, are you walking in all of that? I press towards the mark of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things that are behind, I reach and I press towards the mark of the high call of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Remember, truth is a person. It's Jesus is the truth, and He loves you. He loves you and gave Himself for you. Be encouraged. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. He has empowered you with His own life. on the inside, same as he has me. And we are going to walk in the truth, because truth is a person. Get to know him. See you next time. Bye-bye.